fresh manna fell to the ground as a gift from God while the Israelites were in the wilderness. This is what they ate for 40 years. It was fresh from the ovens of heaven, baked by the master baker himself. How the Israelites must have anticipated the taste and the smell of each morning's delivery. Just like the Israelites, you too can now experience the taste and smell of fresh manna. Today, you'll be listening to Moise Retsera, pastor of Lansing Seventh-day Adventist Church. And now, here's Pastor Mo.
Happy Sabbath, church family. You know, Mr. Calvinage and Mr. Allen, I really like the energy of that special music. You almost made me be ready to run. You know, what a blessing it is to have our young people involved in the music service and in the church service. That is a dream. And keep serving the Lord. We praise God for using your talents in the Lord's house. You know, Pastor Mo also has another dream. One of the things I've always been praying for is that we would have a church that if you're a person struggling in your faith, or maybe struggling with deep sins, that when you come to this place, you can find the help and the need to receive victory in Jesus Christ. As you could tell, it's been already now a year that I've had the privilege of being your pastor. And it's been a blessed year for me personally. And I think for all of us, it has been a time of healing in some ways. But as we press forward, we want people, as they come to the Lansing Church, to really experience the presence of God. I pray every time, as we're going to have the sermon and going into a new series, that you would gain some practical tools to live victorious in Jesus Christ. Also, as well, yesterday we had if you could ever say that a memorial service was blessed, I think it was a very special time. As we honored the life of our dear brother, Kerry. It was wonderful to see the church pews being filled with people from all different walks of life, some from Sparrow, some from all the different areas where Kerry's life touched each and every one of them. And I tell you what, there's no greater sense of urgency than at a memorial service to see Jesus come. And we get the privilege as a body of believers to press together and get a generation ready for the coming of Jesus Christ. Because Jesus is coming again. Amen? Now, as well, you might have heard about the leadership meeting, and those of you who know you're involved with that, it's time for us to press together to get to work, to reach one, each one, for Jesus Christ. When we think about the time that we're living in today, we are living in sacred time, and time cannot be wasted. God has a work for us to do, and we want to be engaged in what God wants us to do. Amen? Well, let's have a word of prayer, my friends, as we begin a series entitled The Heroes of Faith. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, I count it a deep privilege to be before your people. Who am I, Lord? But your word is power. And I pray that as we study your word, that you will change us because we have had an encounter with Jesus Christ. In Jesus' name, amen. If you would turn your Bibles with me, we're going to look at five characters. Every time we'll have a sermon, we'll focus on one specific character. Now, the object of this series is not sometimes when you talk about Bible characters, they can feel a little bit distant, like they weren't really real people. They had something in them that made them, you know, extra special. But I want you to see that each character that we'll study about, that they were real people living in real times, with real struggles like you and I. And by the grace of God, they were able to overcome. So turn your Bibles with me to Genesis chapter 5. Genesis chapter 5 and verse 24. We are going to look at the life of our first Bible character. Genesis chapter 5 and verse 24. Genesis chapter 5 and verse 24. The word of God says it this way. Genesis chapter 5 and verse 24. Genesis chapter 5 and verse 24. It says, "And Enoch walked with God, and he was not, for God took him." That always fascinated me. And I hope it fascinates you as well. Now, what is interesting, however, in the Word of God, that this is not the first time that the name Enoch is mentioned in the Bible. As a matter of fact, Enoch was first mentioned in the Word of God in Genesis chapter 4 and verse 17. Enoch, the first Enoch that is mentioned in the Bible, is a son of Cain. Son of Cain. And Cain was so impacted by the birth of his son named Enoch that he built a city and named it after, guess who? After Enoch. Now, the Enoch we're talking about here today is not the son of Cain. It is Enoch, the son of Jared. When I was thinking about a sermon title, I should have put two tales of Enoch. One born to Cain and one born to Jared. And in Genesis chapter 5, verse 18, you see that this is the second Enoch that is mentioned in the Word of God. Genesis chapter 5 and verse 18, it says, "Jared lived 162 years and begot who, my friends? Enoch." Enoch. Now, the name Enoch really meant dedicated. That is what it meant. And when Enoch, here was baby Enoch, when Enoch was born, great-great-great-great-grandfather Adam. Can anybody guess how old Adam was when baby Enoch was born? Anybody willing to guess? All right, my brother. Oh, 900 years old. You are too generous. He was at the young age of 784 years old. At the age of 784 years old, Enoch is born. But what is interesting about Enoch is, like, unlike the others, he has his first child at a very young age, at the age of 65 years old. 65 years old, he has his first child. And his child's name, now you got to take it into perspective, because some of these guys were having children at the age of 100 and plus. His first child carries with it a very intense name, a warning, but also a blessing. His first child's name, can anybody guess what his first child's name is? Methuselah. Methuselah. Now, to you and I today, we say, wow, that is an interesting name. We don't see a lot of Methuselahs running around. But Methuselah, when he was born, his name carried with it a prophetic message, a very prophetic message of warning and blessing. In Hebrew, the name literally meant a man of the dart. But in its most raw form, this is what his name meant. It says his name meant his death sends. Now, you might say, Pastor Mo, his death sends, that sounds like a very ominous, kind of mysterious name. Who will want to name his child his death sends? But when you put it in the context of the time of Enoch, in the antediluvian time, you understand what the message was very clearly. What it meant is that his death will send judgment. Let's say that again. His death will send what? Judgment. And sure enough, as soon as Methuselah died, the flood started.
You could imagine there Enoch raising a son, or as Methuselah grew up, if he ever got sick, people got worried. If Methuselah was in danger, people were worried because they knew that as soon as he would die, judgment will be sent. And in this case, it was sent in a flood. Enoch was responsible for raising this child. And there it says in Genesis chapter 5, verse 24, studying this verse, and it says, and Enoch walked with who, my friends? Walked with God. The times that surrounded Enoch were indeed very, very evil times. Men had great powers of intellect and great energy. And instead of utilizing those gifts for the benefit of the gospel, they used it for evil. So much so that to the point that the Bible says that their thoughts were continually what, my friends? Continually evil. Now, a couple of years ago, it would have been hard to think how this would look like. But in our day and age, it's starting to feel that way, doesn't it? Evil seems to start to be perfected and to start to become the norm. We become more evil and more evil. And these were the times of Enoch, the times of Noah. And in the midst of all of that noise and sin and everything else, the Bible has the record of his life in verse 24. And it said again, Enoch walked with God. Is it possible to walk with God in the last days? For Enoch, it was real because he knew that his son, as soon as his son would die, God will send the judgment. Enoch, in a way, was living in the last days of his people. Now, what is interesting about the text, my friends, is the words that Moses uses to describe Enoch's relationship with God. He says it in this way again, verse 24. He says, and Enoch walked with God. Now, Moses could have used all sorts of words to describe the relationship of God and Enoch. He could have said, Enoch spent a lot of time with God. He could have also said, well, Enoch loved the Lord. Or he could have said, Enoch was fascinated by God. But what word does he use to describe his relationship with God? He says, Enoch walked with God. I want us to understand the importance of just that one word, walked. Walked is an active verb. It is an action. It is a state of being that is always on the move. When it came to God, for Enoch, it was an active relationship. As a matter of fact, the Bible says in Amos chapter 3, verse 3, can two walk together lest they do what? Lest they agree. In other words, Enoch agreed with God. His thoughts, his actions, and I can tell you this, my friends, you won't walk long with a person that you disagree with. You won't take a far journey with a person whom you don't seek their presence. I recall in one of the adventures, I don't know even why I signed up for it, but it was a 54-mile race going from sea level to the mountain in South Africa called the Comrades. Now, after doing and that whole race, we had to do about 80,000 steps in one day. But I recall as I was doing step number 45,000. And there I was walking. I have no shame in confessing I was walking at an ultra marathon, no problem. But there I was, and as I was walking, there was a person who was talking too much. Because I can tell you, when you're in deep suffering, the last thing you want is bad company. And the person kept talking, so much so that they motivated me to walk faster. So I can tell you from experience that one can only walk for a long time with a person that really enjoys their presence. For Enoch, he enjoyed walking with God. He enjoyed spending time with God. He enjoyed being on a journey with God. For Enoch, it was not necessarily the destination as much as the experience of just being with Jesus. What is interesting about the life of Enoch is that it doesn't seem like his ultimate goal was just to reach a place. It was just to go through life with the one he loved the most. So Moses said, Enoch did what? Walk with God. He walked with God. In other words, Enoch's life was a life of prayer. It was a life where he was able to put upon Christ all the burdens of his walk, all the things that were going on. For him, God was real, and God was a living being with whom he could have a relationship of time and love. He walked with the Lord. As a matter of fact, when you think about Enoch, by the way, his words are recorded in the Bible. Extra credit for anybody who can tell me, where does Enoch speak? Let's go to Jude. Jude, verse 14 to verse 15. Jude chapter 1. Jude is a very short book. Verse 14 to 15. In a very short word, and make sure you keep your Bible still in Genesis chapter 5 and verse 24. In there, here's what he said. And notice his focus. It's very interesting. Jude chapter 1 and verse 14 to 15. In there, the word of God says, "Now Enoch, the seventh from Adam, prophesied about these men also, and these men were men that were not doing the right thing, saying, Behold, the Lord comes with 10,000s of his saints." What event is he talking about, my friends? The second coming. "To execute judgment on all, to convict all who are ungodly among them of all their ungodly deeds which they have committed in an ungodly way, and of all the harsh things which ungodly sinners have spoken against him." When you're talking about Enoch, Enoch saw the second coming. And the one thing that drew his mind that he studied was God's judgment. In other words, let's make it more personal to try to understand a little bit this walk with God. Enoch knew that we would be answerable to God. That none of us living on this earth were free to do whatever we wanted. But at the end of the day, we would have to meet God. And what would be our answer when we met the Lord? For Enoch, he wanted to walk with God with a pure heart. He loved God. He wanted to be with God. And he wanted to be in a state that when God came, he could answer without shame that he was a son of God. You and I, sometimes we live in a world that tells us that we can do whatever we want. But that is not true, my friends. Truth is not relative. It is not live your life the way that you want, because if we got everything that we wanted, we would die. But at the end of the day, we have an account to give to God for the choices we've made and for the life we have lived. Enoch realized this, and for him the choice was clear. He would walk with God. For Enoch, what was important to him was to walk with God than dance with the devil. Because what the devil has for you and I, my friends, is a nightmare. It is not a dream. You can see about it often in the wedding in Cana in the first miracle of Christ. They were having a great time, but what started running out, my friends? The wine started to run out. That is exactly how the devil operates. We're having a great time, but then it starts to get very real. The wine runs out of fun and things become more serious, more deep, and more problematic. And the devil loves to get us at that point in our lives. But when Jesus comes in the picture, he always keeps the best for last. It only gets better with time. The more we are willing to invest in a relationship with Jesus, it is not easy at times, my friends. But if you're willing to walk with God, it will only get better and better with time. If you give God your time, he will never disappoint you. He will never let you down. And even in a world filled with evil, we can still walk with God. Amen? Because God is real. So for Enoch, he did not want to dance with the devil like all of his siblings were doing. He did not want to just perfect evil and seek pleasure and all these things. He wanted the deepest kind of pleasure. He wanted the pleasure that comes with knowing that you're at peace with God. And that whatever happens in this life, it is not the end. But the best is yet to come, my friends. But there was another event that impacted Enoch. Not only was that he walked with God and that he loved the Lord, but here was the other event that impacted him. And in order to get a glimpse of that, we have to go to Testimonies. Testimonies to the Churches, Volume 8, page 329. She recounts in here, she says, of Enoch it is written that he lived for 65 years and begat a son. After that, he walked with God for 300 years. During those early years, Enoch had loved and feared God and has kept his commandments. But after the birth of his first son, he reached a higher experience. He was drawn into a closer relationship with God, and he saw that the child's love for his father, its simple trust in his protection, as he felt the deep, yearning tenderness of his own heart for his firstborn son, he learned a precious lesson of the wonderful love of God to man in the gift of his son. And the confidence which the children of God may repose in their heavenly Father. The infinite, unfathomable love of God through Christ became the subject of his meditation day and night. And with all the fervor of his soul, he sought to reveal that love to the people among whom he dwelt. In other words, when he saw the love that he had for his son, and when he saw the trust that his son had for him, it gave him a picture of God that he could not erase from his heart. It revealed to him a deeper love that God has for you and I. But that ultimately God will give who, my friends? Would give his son for John, for Jared, for Mary, for Sue. He could not understand the depth of that love. And it became the subject of his life to study how deep the Father loves me and you that he is willing to give up his son. So there you could imagine it there with baby Methuselah, already has a very intense name. And as he's caring for baby Methuselah, he starts to see how much God cares for him. He sees how Methuselah has simple trust in his daddy. And he learns that he can trust God because God is a good heavenly Father. Amen? It is through that study of the life of God that Enoch becomes Enoch. The Bible says in Genesis 5, verse 24, it says, and Enoch walked with God. And I got to ask you the question, my friends, why would any man want to walk with God? Very simple, because when you walk with God, you fulfill your life's purpose. You fulfill the exact reason why you and I were made. There's a part in our hearts that only God can fill. And when you walk with God, you become complete in Jesus. Amen? And Enoch walked with God, and he walked with God, and he walked with God for 300 years. Now, some of us, sometimes we have a hard time walking with God just for 1 year. We start hot and all excited, and then life hits us and things get real, and we say, I don't know about this walking with God thing. It might not be for me. But Enoch walked with God longer than the American experience. Add 50 more years to the American experience, and that is how long Enoch walked with the Lord. And there for 300 years, he walks with God, he walks with God, he walks with God, till the Bible says, and he was what? And he was not. Now, could you imagine that day? Methuselah, who is quite old at this time, is looking for daddy. Daddy, where are you? But the Bible says, daddy was not. Where is Enoch? I could imagine it was a very interesting day. If you're used to seeing daddy being faithful, walking with God, people in the city, you know, saying all sorts of things against him, but he's following Jesus, he's following Jesus, and one day we don't see him anymore. Where is he? Maybe if I was Methuselah, I'll check with mom and say, Mom, have you seen where daddy went? Oh, maybe he's up in that mountain again. If you try to find him in the mountain, maybe he's there praying. Or maybe he's in the city trying to help people, show them the love of God. Everybody searches for Enoch. But Enoch is not. In verse 24, the Bible says, and Enoch walked with God, and he was not. For who is the one that took Enoch? God himself. Enoch was not kidnapped. He was not taken by a band of robbers. He did not fall into the river. God himself took him. God himself took Enoch. If you turn to Hebrews chapter 11, verse 5, the Bible will tell us why God took him. In Hebrews chapter 11, verse 5, Jesus, through the pen of Paul, tells us why God took Enoch. If you're there, if you could say good amen, my friends. And are you still with me? Amen. Praise the Lord. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 5. It says in there, by faith Enoch was taken away so that he did not see death. In other words, there was no layover for Enoch, no layover in the grave. It was a direct flight. By faith Enoch was taken away so that he did not see death, and was not found, because God had taken him. For before he was taken, he had this testimony. And what was his testimony, my friends? That he pleased God. How did Enoch please God? Well, we know the answer. By faith. For without faith, it is impossible to do what, my friends? To please God. Here are three very practical lessons as we conclude. Enoch learned to love God by spending time with God. He did not have all the resources that we have today. He did not probably have the internet I don't know if they did, but from what I'm reading in the Bible, I don't think they had YouTube or, you know. He did not have all of these resources and the influencers talking to him about Jesus and all the latest ideas and all these things. No. He had great-great-grandfather Adam, probably, Jared, telling him stories about God. But what one thing that he had is that he could spend time thinking about God. And it is through spending time with God that he learned to love God. Let me say that again. It is by spending time with God that you truly learn to love God. There's no way around it, my friends. Living on somebody else's spirituality will not, at the end of the day, give us a deeper love for God. As good as it is to come to church, hear a sermon, read and pray, and how wonderful it is, but at the end of the day, it is by spending time with God that we truly love to love God. It is every day spending time in the Bible, praying to God, dusting off the Bible and callousing the knees, that one learns to be in love with God. And at the end of time, that is what will make the difference. Do I know God, and do I love God? Lesson number 2. Enoch walked with God because he learned simple trust in his father. It was a type of trust that says money might be running out, but God. It was a type of trust that says my health might not be in the best shape right now, but God. It is a type of trust that says my family might be going a different way, but God. It is a type of faith that says whatever is happening around me, there is still a God. And in that God, I will trust. Lansing Church, this year we don't know what will happen. But always know this, God is still alive, amen? And however dim or hard our situation might be, but God is still in his throne. And this was a lesson that Enoch learned because Enoch, for most of his walk, was probably alone. He did not have a big crowd of people probably cheering him on. Enoch, you could do it. Let's support you, brother. He probably did not have funds coming in supporting him in his walk with God. He probably was alone most of the time, but he had God, and that was enough. And number 3, he sought to love others as God had loved him. For Enoch, loving and walking with God was not just spending time in the mountain. It had to become real and go down into the valley. It is not just enough for us to spend time with God, but we must reveal God to those that we come in contact with. The loudest sermon this week will not be this sermon. It will be the lives that we live during the week. It won't be all the flashing lights and all these things and how much we know, how we can dissect a certain verse. It will be what did we do when someone was in need. In a lot of ways, the man that we celebrated his life yesterday, Kerry, was a lot like that. He was not a loud guy. But you know, when he said something, he was going to do it. So many times the band will play here, and guess who was tearing apart and putting everything away? It was him. When things need to be done, you wouldn't hear him talking from the front, but you saw him cutting the grass almost twice a week, every week, till snow came. Enoch, though he probably did not say much, he loved much. And it is in those simple lessons to spend time with God, to trust in God, and to love others as God loved us. That the Bible says, Enoch walked with God and he was not, For who again took him, my friends? God took him. And Enoch right now is listening to this sermon because he pleased God. Now, my friends, as we end this time together, we too can please God. We too are living at a time of judgment. And we too, living in a world where evil seems to be so rampant, can choose to walk with God and not dance with the devil. How many of us here today are willing to say, Lord, I'm willing to spend time with you, to trust in you, to walk with you? If that is your desire, why don't you stand with me? And as we stand together, let us make a commitment to Jesus and say, Lord Jesus, I want to walk with you. Dear Heavenly Father, indeed, draw us nearer to thy bleeding side that was shed so freely upon the cross for each and every one of us. And may our greatest joy in this life be to spend time with our Maker and walk with God. In Jesus' name, amen.
You have been listening to Moise Ratsera, pastor of Lansing Seventh-day Adventist Church. If you enjoyed this sermon, why not visit his church this coming Sabbath or a church near you listed on strongtowerradio.org. You will find the church at 5400 West St. Joe Highway in Lansing, Michigan, and their church service begins at 11 a.m. Access their website at lansingadventist.org. This program has been a Strong Tower Radio production.